The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you want to take your seats, you are most welcome to. Well, friends, good morning and welcome to our service this morning of Holy Communion. I want to just go through a couple of notices before we begin our service today. I hope that you are enjoying this good weather. Yeah? Anybody roasting? I'm roasting, and I'm roasting so much that some of my beard fell off. All right? Needs must, as we say. Listen, a few announcements for us. Most of the things, as you know, during the summer tend to go down a bit in terms of the life of our parish and things in terms of gathering and services, because a lot of you go and enjoy your holiday. But over the summer, what we wanted to do was continue our outreach towards our neighbors and our community. And so just to remind you, I had a big chat with the big man upstairs and asked him for good weather. And so far, we've done well. So our picnics, our Won't You Be Our Neighbor picnics have gone well, and they've been a treat. And people have come and gathered on the lawn, had great fellowship, had good conversation. And so that is happening again this week on Tuesday evening, 5:30 to 7:30. You're most welcome to come. But you are also most welcome and encouraged to invite somebody to come with you. Invite a neighbor, invite a colleague, anyone, really, that you think would enjoy coming together for that. Also, to let you know that Miss Jean McMillan has passed away, and her funeral will be here in the church on Thursday at 1:30. So please do keep her family in your prayers. I believe those are all of the announcements. If I missed anything, I'll get told off about it later. You will find out by way of the magazine as well as the Facebook page. We're going to stand together and sing our opening hymn, hymn number 324, God Whose Almighty Word. Our service of Holy Communion can be found on page 201 in the prayer book, or all responses will be on the screen. We still our hearts for a moment before we begin. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all of the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these, your laws, in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Our collect for today, the sixth Sunday after Trinity. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you above all things, may attain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning at the first verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Matthew chapter 13, beginning at the first verse.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We respond to the gospel as we affirm our faith, saying together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We now sing together hymn 385, Rise and Hear. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Friends, I have to say that I am quite fascinated, and I'm actually deeply happy about this sort of cultural renaissance that's happening right now with love for story, myth, and poetry. I see it a lot in my sort of social media fields and watching on Facebook or on Instagram or people that I know, and it seems to be that there is this rekindled love of words and of story that is taking at least my generation by storm. For those of you who've always read stories, books, and poetry, you're probably saying to me, well, it's about time everybody caught up with the rest of us. But I'm fascinated by this. Two recent authors that were kind of obscure and not many people knew who they were. Martin Shaw, the mythologist, not the financial guru, wrote this book called Liturgy of the Wild. And another recent fella, a poet from England called Malcolm Geat, who looks like a hobbit. He's like a jovial man, a bard, white hair and a big beard, and he just looks like exactly what you'd think a storytelling poet would look like. And he has rewritten, not rewritten, but he has in a poetic form taken this the Holy Grail story and written this beautiful poem about Sir Galahad and the Grail. And what's interesting is they became bestsellers. They went from being obscure people to being like top of the charts, and these books need second printings way quicker than anyone had expected or thought. And I think for me this fascination is one where I'm going, it's lovely to see that people are tapping back into the nature of story. But it also tells me something about the way that we're wired to hear a story and how this story tells us something about our very selves. that we're wrapped up in a story. And we think about parables and we think about the things that resonate to our very being. It's as if we were wired to hear them. And our text this morning is a jump into the master storyteller. A lot of times we think about Jesus and his miracles and the things that he does, but do we pay attention to the way in which he encounters people and the way he talks to them? And he's always telling stories. And for this morning, there's this short parable in which he brings a truth to them in a way that is really quite easy to understand. And so we look at this story of the sower, this parable in which we see a story unfold. You've got a farmer who goes out and he throws seeds. And as he throws the seeds, some of those seeds land in different places, right? Some land on the path, some land in rocky soil, some land in thorns and thickets, and some find their way to good soil. That's sort of the way life is, isn't it? And I think when we begin and hear this story, we have to think firstly of the generosity of the sower, right? This is a story and a parable about the goodness of God who throws the seed out and everybody can hear it. Notice how he's not just walking straight to the good soil and he's just, oh, this is really good soil, I'm going to put it right here. They just throw it out. It's just thrown out. The same message, the same seed, the same hope, the same everything. It's just given away. Right? And it's given away freely, generously. Tells, scatters, and throws the seed of this beautiful message of love and of hope. So the first thing we notice about this parable, about this story, is the generosity of the one who's actually giving the seed. But the second thing we notice about it is the nature of where that seed actually lands. And when we're thinking about stories and we're thinking about this, you go like, well, you know, I'm lucky I was the good soil. And you're going, well, maybe not so quickly to think about if we're the good soil or not. It's a nature of where our heart is and our disposition of how the seed lands. And we see that at sort of the end of our reading today where it says, well, let's explain this. Hear it explained. When the word of the kingdom lands with somebody and they don't understand it, the evil one snatches it, right? It's just the past. It's simple. The birds snatch it away and it disappears. Well, the second one is like that rocky ground. There's no depth. They hear it with joy and they're really excited about it. But then it's scorched out because there's no root. It's like this good news has been given, but it just doesn't quite go deep enough. And then the third, where you've got the ground where it's choked out by the changes and chances of this fleeting world. Right? Worrying about our own life, our own success, our own choices, our own things. And it just doesn't have the ability to go deep enough, and it's choked out by everything else. And then lastly, that lovely good soil. And here's where the story gets kind of interesting, right? Because it's not even a matter that it lands in the good soil. But it's where we actually have to take a look at that idea of farming and what actually happens and the results of the good soil. The one seed goes into the ground and it grows. And out of the seed that grows, fruit is born. And out of the fruit that's born, more seeds are dropped. And that crop yields something. So while we might think that this story might be about us and our own faith and our own soil, it's actually just as much a story of generosity and what we do with that seed that's been planted in us and how we go and then live and tell the story. So we do have to ask, what is our soil like? What are we thinking about? What's shaping us? What's forming us? What's culture doing? Is it our success? Is it our ego? And what grows out of our hearts? What must we hear this morning about the soil? Can you ask yourself the question on a scale of path to good soil, where are you? You know, there's that adage of once saved, always saved. I like to go with this mindset of actually going, we're constantly hearing the good news. We're constantly being formed and shaped by it. hopefully tomorrow I'm more in love with God than I am today, right? It ebbs and flows, it peaks and valleys. Maybe your heart a year ago was in good soil and today it feels choked out. Maybe your heart was choked out a year ago and now it's in really good soil. That's great. But we all have to take a moment and take stock of that thing, of where our heart is in this beautiful seed that God has given us, of faith. Which is why you look over at the Roman story, you say, well, what even is the seed of the kingdom of God? Well, in pretty literal terms now, Paul is giving this message when he's talking in Romans 8, and he opens it up by simply saying, there is no condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And he gives this long theological discourse about being in the flesh and then being in the spirit. And if we were to reduce it down, it would simply be, the spirit giveth life. And those who have that seed of the spirit that giveth life, and would we lean into, we live the life, loving God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor. We live according to the spirit, not worrying about what success is or what ego is. It sets us free. That's the seed. That's what's been given to each of us. The question is, what is the responsible thing to do with it? So hence the parable and the storyteller who says, how is the seed being scattered? Modern farming is very precise, isn't it? Anybody deal with modern farming? You know the soil, you got the big tractors, they go in and they plow the land and then they plant it in nice, beautiful and rows. Ancient farming was a lot different, right? And it's why the parable is so wonderful, because it really is. A guy walks out with a basket, he sees some ground, and he just grabs seeds and he hucks it out there. Hopes for the best. And it lands and it goes. We need to be more generous with the seed that God has given us. Throw it out there. You never know where that seed is going to land and what soil it's going to land in. We throw, though, from good soil. We have to. We cannot throw from the footpath. Discipleship doesn't allow us to. We have to go deep and wide in the things of Jesus, and if we're there, we can then throw out from there. We live the kingdom story. We live the story that says there is no condemnation. We live by the Holy Spirit. We bear witness to Jesus. We live in that spirit and not the flesh. This is the seed. This seed bears fruit. This fruit then bears seeds. And those seeds are sown. Do you see the simplicity of that story? I'll say it again. This is the seed. The seed then is planted in the good soil and it bears fruit. And that fruit then bears seeds. And those seeds are sown. 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. The point is it grows. Those who have ears, let them hear. Let us pray. United in the company of all the faithful, and looking for the coming of the kingdom, we offer our prayers to God, the source of all life and holiness. Almighty God, as we hear Jesus' words in the gospel, we examine our own hearts and ask ourselves what kind of soil we give to the seed of the gospel to grow in our own lives. Help us to cultivate fertile ground, that as we continually hear the good news, we will continuously grow in the fruit of the kingdom by the power of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. We also think about the generosity of the sower who spreads the seed. We ask that our endeavors to bear witness and share the seed of the gospel in our community would bear fruit. And living by the Spirit, generosity shown to us in Christ Jesus would make the ground fertile for others to come and experience the greatness of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Father, as your Son had compassion on those he encountered who were like sheep without a shepherd, soften our hearts towards those who have not yet come to know your love. As we pray for the church, let us not be afraid of the orphan, the widow, or the stranger in our midst. We continue to pray for our city and our nation. Help us search for deeper compassion towards the other and to defend them as image bearers of you and as our brothers and sisters. Help us to be good workers for the harvest that you have set before us. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God and Lord of heaven and earth, we pray for this world. You are the God of justice and mercy. And we ask that you would remember us when we pray for our leaders in hope and expectation that they will do their best to serve the interests of the people rather than themselves. We pray for all conflict and ask for mercy, for peace, for justice. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, understood people's fear and pain before they spoke of them, we pray for those today who are not with us, who are in hospital, who are at home, who are in care. We ask that you would surround them with your tenderness, give strength to those in pain, hold the weak in your arms of love, and give hope and patience to those who are recovering. This time we bring to you the needs of our friends, our families, and our loved ones, as we offer them to you in a moment of silence. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, the good things that your servants have prayed for, give us grace to also work for. And the purpose of your love, both answer our prayers and prosper our endeavors, as we pray the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this, your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Our hymn of offering is hymn number 384, Lord, thy word abideth. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Friends, draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and you brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free. And the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, hymn 378, Almighty God, your word is cast.